We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Super pitch, great. Super pitch, great. Super pitch, great. Super pitch, great.
Super pitch, great.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Super pitch, great. Super pitch, great. Super pitch, great.
It never gets old. Welcome back. Final hour of the Bill Michaels Show on a Friday. Radio Joe Zanzola with you. In for Bill. He'll be back on Tuesday. Have no fear. Appreciate sitting in the big seat today. Evan Heffelfinger, producer extraordinaire, other side of the glass. We've had a really good show today. It's been a lot of fun, and we continue on. When I have a chance to talk to this guy and even do shows with him, we have this little thing called Radio Magic that we do, and we're going to have some Radio Magic now for the next 10 minutes. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, check him out, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, the fine sports director he is. The one and only Kevin Holden. Hello, Kevin. Are you ready for some radio magic?
I guess we call it remote radio magic, right? Because we're all doing this at, you know, various spots. So it tells you that even remotely, the magic can happen.
Okay. Do you miss Jeff Supon?
Wait, are you asking? Do I miss him?
Yes. Do you miss Jeff Supon? Didn't you? For those that don't know, Kevin Holden loves to travel around the country. He loves going to different minor league stadiums. He has this whole map where he's been almost every single minor league stadium in the country. Didn't you see Supon? Like, wasn't he like a coach or a manager of a team in Montana?
Okay, so it was in, it was a team in Idaho, the Idaho Falls. I can't even remember their nickname now. I want to say they were the Chuckers, but...
The Potatoes?
What's that?
The Potatoes?
But yeah, the famous Potatoes, because that's what you got. It's Idaho, right? Yeah, so we're in Orem, Utah. This is in the summer of 2015. We're in Orem, Utah. And pitching coach goes out to the mound, and I'm like, man, that guy looks familiar. Like, I can't place it, but I just, the face, the whole, the walk, everything is so familiar. And we're sitting at the first base dugout, and he walks back, and I'm like, that's Jeff Supon.
Soup pitch, great.
Stood up and said, Soup coach, great. I did. It was sad.
That's awesome. Yeah, Jeff Supon, I have him number one on my worst coaches, or not worst player contracts in Wisconsin sports history, because there was just such a letdown. And the Brewers at the time were trying to do everything they could to find a solid rotation, and they just missed on so many different pitchers for so many years. And Jeff Supon did not help the situation. So your homework assignment, I gave it to Grant Bills, and I also gave it to you. Who are your top five worst contracts of all time? I have to assume Supon is somewhere on that list.
Supon is on that list. And here's the thing. As I was doing my research on this, I figured out that, honestly, you could build a Brewers starting rotation and have five arguments for the five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history, because it's the nature of the game. Pitching is the name of the game. It's extremely difficult to develop. It's extremely difficult to sign great pitching if you're a smaller market team, because if you're, you know, one of the top pitchers in the game, you're getting $200 million. Brewers can't pay that. So it leads to all of these in-between contracts. I can honestly say, Joe, that the Brewers' current model of how they handle their team when it comes to pitching, when it comes to bullpenning, when it comes to all the sabermetric stuff, probably directly came out of those bad contracts that were given to pitchers because they knew they had to go a different direction when it didn't work out. So I narrowed it down to this. For my five worst contracts, I needed it to be more than a one-year deal in almost all cases because that doesn't hamstring a franchise. You get 1 year and someone flames out, it happens. So it had to be a significant amount of money, multi-year deal in almost all cases. So Tom Bernanski's off the hook, you know, that kind of thing. Gary Neal is off the hook. So I went, you know, team to team. So this is where I came out. I think Jeff Suppan is a terrific contender for worst. I'm going to go with Matt Garza for my worst because that was 4 years, $50 million as opposed to 4 years, $42 million for Suppan. Garza won 26 games and literally did not play anywhere once his contract was up. He was done with baseball. And I guess that was the case with Suppan too. But I think basically Garza was like Suppan, except that, you know, there was a lot of tension with the fans. I don't remember Jeff Suppan having a lot of tension. But with Garza, there were some tense situations there. So Garza and Suppan could be one and two. I think that's a legitimate one and two. I'm trying not to go with too much recency bias because I want Jimmy Graham to be up there just because I'm bitter about the last 2 years of Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Martellus Bennett instead because that was 3 years, $21 million, and it was 10 games. It doesn't hamstring the franchise because of the way NFL contracts are structured, but Bennett was, from the moment the first speed bump happened in Green Bay, it was terrible. And Larry Sanders has to be in your top five, 4 years, $44 million in 2013, and he literally withered away. So Suppan, Garza, Bennett, Larry Sanders. That fifth one has been kind of hitting me. I'm gonna go with Eric Gagne. So I will do a 1 year guy. That was $10 million, and he was 5 weeks as the Brewers closer. There's your five.
Okay, now I don't know if you heard my top five. So this is what I have. I have Suppan at number one. I have Miles Plumlee at number two when the Bucks gave him 4 years, $52 million. Matthew Dellavedova comes in at number three, where he got that four-year deal for $38.5 million. Garza's at four, and then I also have Martellus Bennett at five. Because I just look, the tight end position right now for the Packers has just been a black hole, and that starts all the way back to not signing Jared Cook and bringing in Martellus Bennett because we all thought he was going to be better, and then just the fact he quit on the Packers. I'm right with you on that, keeping Martellus Bennett in there over someone like Jimmy Graham. Larry Sanders, we haven't talked about Larry Sanders, and I remember when that went down, when he quit, I was so furious with him. Now, I've taken a step back in this sense, and I think this is part of the reason why I didn't put him in the top five. You know, the dude was battling with a lot of depression, and it's just, depression is such a big thing nowadays for a lot of people, and I understand it more for why he decided to step away. But the one issue I still have with it, Kevin, is he took that money a year before he decided to leave the league. And it's just like, if you said it at the press conference, how committed you were to this organization, what it meant, and then to just get up and leave, that still doesn't sit well with me to this very day.
Yeah, and I think you've hit both issues right on the head, which is, it's not to trivialize the mental aspect of what goes on. And Larry Sanders is the most obvious example. But when you're talking about mental issues, depression and anxiety, we've seen it with other athletes as well. Zach Greinke has a very publicly known battle that he's had his whole career with anxiety. And it is not to be trivialized. And the contract is definitely not about the trivialization. But you're talking about 4 years and $44 million. That hamstrung your franchise, that set your franchise basically on this path straight down for a couple of years. I mean, it wasn't really until Giannis started to truly evolve that team came out of the funk that they went into because of the Sanders contract. So yeah, I could see leaving him off and giving him a break because he took a break to help his mental state. I definitely agree with that. That, you know, it's funny too, because there are a couple other ones. I did ask for a little help with this. I had a couple of friends that I asked about, and someone said this, and this is kind of shocking. What about the Brewers TV contract? That's because it hamstrings them. I mean, you're talking small market money in a right. big market league.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't think about it that way. And that's the thing. That's one of the realities of it. That TV deal is never going to be this, like, you know, billion-dollar thing. It's just not going to happen in this state, and it's just such a tragedy.
Yeah, it's the truth, because you have a tremendous group of fans. You have a group of fans that turns out in Miller Park in numbers greater than they draw in Boston, and stadium capacity is part of it. But the Brewers fans for this size market are fantastic, and you want to do everything you can to give them a winner. But the semantics of the way the game works, the financials of the way the game works are pretty tough. Here's another one. Since I'm just throwing stuff out here, Joe, I had a ton of ideas. I thought for a half a second to put Gary Anderson in there, because I don't know if you remember this. Gary Anderson was in here for 2 years in Wisconsin, in Madison, and he actually got a raise after the first year. So there were two contracts given to Gary Anderson, one at the start and one a year in. But I decided not to, because, I mean, this is funny. I forget these things because you remember the bitter end with Gary Anderson. He was 19-7 at Wisconsin. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we had Grant Bills on from WKTY in the last hour, and he put Gary Anderson in his top five. And I totally see the argument. It was a guy that wanted to change things up at UW after everything was the same for many years under Barry, and it just didn't work. And he didn't agree with, you know, the academic standards, and he wanted to make it a spread offense. No, it was a total train wreck. And again, kudos to Paul Christ for being able to turn it around as fast as he did and to get this team where it should be right now. And that's been pretty incredible.
Yeah. And by the way, going back to the Bucks thing, you hit on what was this crazy era in the NBA where there was all this extra money flowing in with free agency. And you remember Timothy Mozgov and Dellavedova and these contracts that were just ridiculous. Yeah, I think you're right. At least one of those from that era has to go on the list.
We're talking with Kevin Holden of CBS 58. We always do this every single Friday here on the Bill Michaels Show right at the same time. I know Evan Heffelfinger wanted to give you some grief, or did he? Evan, are you good with Kevin's top five?
I really can't hate on it. I mean, my list, know that if you were to ask me tomorrow, I'd have a completely different one. I didn't mention a guy like Larry Sanders or John Henson or John Salmons. This Bucks list is, you could, like,
one after 15, another after another,
a 17 man roster of bad contracts.
Yeah, you could do a whole Bucks roster, a starting lineup and a bench. And then have some in the G League also.
Right. It's that, and it's the Brewers pitching rotation, just like Kevin said. It's really, really depressing to talk about.
Yeah, and it's also weird too, Kevin, how everything has kind of done a reverse here in the last, 20 years. And, I know you haven't been on the Wisconsin sports scene that full 20 years, but, I mean, you think about the Brewers and the Bucks were so bad for all those years, and the Packers were dominating. And then the Packers are still good, and they won 13 games last year, but the Brewers and Bucks have really grabbed more attention here, and it's so awesome now to have some new faces of the state when we're talking about Christian Yelich and Giannis that, even after Aaron Rodgers does retire or does leave Green Bay, you've got some other idols to look to now in the state.
It's a lot of fun because I'll tell you a personal story. My first year here for the Bucks was the year, was Brandon Jennings' rookie year. He showed a ton of promise. Andrew Bogut was still going on, and he was, emerging as a very good player. And the Bucks were headed for the playoffs. And I had come from Orlando. I had come from I had covered the Magic when they played the Lakers in the finals the year before. And the electricity around Orlando then was really fun. And when the Bucks were starting to emerge, I was ringing the bell. I was like, hey, come on, Wisconsin, you've got a team in the playoffs, a Bucks team in the playoffs. And I could not believe how little it moved the meter in what I was seeing, fan reaction, that sort of thing. They were making the playoffs, and there was just this thought of, all right, whatever. And there is where the biggest change has come for me, is you know, the Packers are obviously a staple and will always be a staple, and the Brewers have had a couple of really good runs since I've been here. But Bucks basketball has the interest of this whole state now, and everybody wants those Bucks to come back because they know the Bucks have a chance to win a championship this year if they let them play. That to me is where the biggest difference. This was a great sports market when I got here, and it's so much better now because the Brewers are good and the Bucks are good, and all these runs that have been made by, you know, the Badgers football team and Marquette and UW basketball. I mean, it is a 12-month-a-year dream, but the Bucks have been the most fun to watch develop.
Again, talking with Kevin Holden of CBS 58 here on the Bill Michaels Show. Real quick, we don't have a whole lot of time. I wanted to get your thoughts, Kevin, on just the state of baseball right now. There was a report that came out a few days ago where MLB, their proposed safety protocols, had a whole list of things like no finger licking, no spitting, no mascots, no bat boy girls, swapping of lineup cards, no high fives. I mean, it's just like no showering. There's all these things that are coming down. But the one thing is, I look at the KBO, and the KBO is figuring this out. Like, half the players aren't even wearing face masks. So I just hope and pray that baseball can find a way to get this back, but also do it in the safest way possible.
It's an incredible dance. It's a delicate dance because you are trying to get the game back, and you're trying to do it in this situation where the U.S. is over 1.5 million cases of this coronavirus, and the death toll is approaching 100,000, and you know that the prioritization of health for the players is number one, and everybody feels that way, I believe, owners and players. Now it's a matter of how you get that done, and if you know anything from the way the U.S. is today, you get two different sides together to try to agree on anything involving this virus. It is extremely difficult to get two people from two different sides to work together and to agree. And that to me is where the difficulty comes in. Then you add the layer of, the labor strife and the money and these other things that have been festering in Major League Baseball for a couple of years. It's going to be a little while before they come up with an agreement. I think at the end of the day, they try something, but yeah, that thing you said, that list you said, that doesn't sound like baseball to me. Like, do we need to put them all in those giant bubbles like they have in the, you know, when those big plastic bubbles and people run into each other and knock each other around? I mean, they do that. I don't know.
Well, who knows? I just want baseball to come back. So we'll see how this goes. It's fluid every single day. Kevin Holden, CBS 58, Radio Magic. I always enjoy it, Kevin. You have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Friday, okay?
Thanks, Joe. You too. Enjoy it. And soon when this is all done, we'll all get together and we'll raise a glass.
Yes, no question about it. There he is, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Check him out there. Fine job with that sports department there. He joined me on the Schneider Orange Hotline. On the other side, we'll go through some of those other names that we really haven't mentioned, the honorable mentions for the worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. Evan Evelfinger, other side of the glass. I'm Radio Joe. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This segment sponsored, brought to you by Lemonade Light Up. ShareLemonade.com. That's your happiness hub. They're updated daily. It has hundreds of stories that are going to remind you just how sweet life can be. So you can share some of your own lemonade right there. Go to ShareLemonade.com and celebrate the good.
The Bill Michaels Show continues on. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Radio Joe here, in for Bill today. Got a lot of good stuff. Talk Packers, we've talked Giannis. We talked why Paul Chris doesn't get enough respect from national media writers. Again, you missed anything on today's show, BillMichaelsSports.com is where to go. You can also find us on the Radio.com app, which is free, by the way. Anything you missed on today's show can be found and consumed there. And if you find yourself having nothing better to do this Memorial Day weekend, hey, listen to us. Bill will be back on Tuesday. So we want to continue with the top five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. And it is fun to just look at the names, especially associated with the Milwaukee Brewers and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Packers have not made a ton of signings because there was a GM that didn't really do a whole lot of that. And so there's only so many names you can go through. Nick Perry is one. Jimmy Graham is another one. Martellus Bennett has been a common one for all of us. So again, 855-830-8648 is where you can get in on it. And the Bill Michaels Facebook page, if you like us there, just search Bill Michaels, look for the blue check mark. Gotten a lot of responses there. You can also follow us on Twitter. Evan Heffelfinger is at EvanHeff25. I'm at Radio Joe Sports. Some of the other guys, Craig on Facebook says Joe Johnson, Cletus Hunt, Jeff Suppan, Tony Mandrich. I don't know if Tony Mandrich was signed to a second contract, though. Yeah, I mean, he was a horrible draft pick, but I don't believe he was signed to a second contract because he was that awful. Tractor Trailer also, but he was traded. I don't think Tractor Trailer fits either because he was drafted and he got... I don't think he got a second contract. I have to look up on that. Tom says Jeff Suppan for sure. He also says Teddy Higuera with that one of his last contracts that handcuffed them for several years. Douglas says Matt Garza is definitely on the top of his list. Let's see. Christine says Larry Heisel, Franklin Stubbs, Matt Garza, Jeffrey Hammonds, Randy Wolf. Randy Wolf, I would never put Randy Wolf anywhere close to the top five because the year that the Brewers had that really good rotation in 2011, Randy Wolf, I think, pitched well beyond what the Brewers were expecting. He had a really good year that year and even pitched well in the postseason too. Randy Wolf, maybe the longevity of the contract, yeah, but when it mattered most in 2011, when the Brewers were trying to get to a World Series, Randy Wolf, I thought, was very, very effective for them. And he was your number four in that rotation. So I wouldn't put Randy Wolf there. There's plenty of Brewer pitchers I would put well ahead of Randy Wolf. But again, that's where you can get in on our Facebook page. And some of the other names that we kind of mentioned, one of which was John Salmons. And John Salmons, when the Bucks traded for him, that was during the Fear the Deer season. John Salmons was a huge contributor for the Bucks after that trade. That was a really good trade for John Hammond to get that team better. And the Fear the Deer season was so unfortunate because Andrew Bogut had that freakish, ugly injury where his arm snapped in half. And it really makes you wonder if they had Andrew Bogut in that first-round playoff series against Atlanta, what that Bucks team could have done. Not saying they could have gotten to the NBA Finals, but they clearly would have gotten out of the first round had Andrew Bogut been healthy. John Salmons was a key contributor, but then they made the mistake and they gave him a really, really stupid contract, 5 years, $39 million. And then later on, they had to trade that deal. And it was the constant swapping out of contracts that John Hammond endured while being the general manager of the Bucks. I mean, yes, he was the one that took Giannis. And if not for Giannis, or if not for John Hammond, Giannis is probably not here. So it makes you wonder, but John Hammond was notorious, Trader John, for making all these trades, especially after signing these guys to really stupid contracts. Drew Gooden was another stupid contract where they gave him 5 years, $32 million, and he had some productive seasons. But there got to be a point where Drew Gooden was totally useless, and he ended up being the cheerleader on their bench, and they had to give him the amnesty clause. Remember that, the amnesty clause, that you could only give it to one player, and Drew Gooden's contract was so horrendous that they had to do the amnesty to get him off the team. And that, too, in hindsight, was also really bad. So those are some of the names and contracts that we have seen in Wisconsin sports history. Jeffrey Hammonds is the other one, too. I was like 10 years old when he signed with the Brewers, and they were basing off of some freakish numbers he put up in Colorado, where numbers are inflated anyway, and the Brewers were drinking too much of the Kool-Aid there. They signed him to 3 years, $22 million, and he flamed out pretty fast, and that was also pretty unfortunate. So, a lot of bad contracts. Fortunately, there are better things right now with all of our Wisconsin sports, and hopefully we don't have to endure another one of these for a long, long time. Coming up next, my conversation with former NFL quarterback and Pro Football Focus analyst Bruce Gradkowski. I had a really good conversation with him earlier, talking about Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. What would he do if he was in Aaron Rodgers' shoes? That is coming up next, right here on The Bill Michaels Show.
This segment sponsor brought to you by Lemonade Light Up. ShareLemonade.com. That's your happiness hub.
It is your happiness hub. But how about Schulze Family Beef?
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Schulze Family Farms Beef. Hey, grilling season is here in Wisconsin, and Schulze Family Farms Beef has the mouthwatering meats your grill and family deserve. The Schulze family has been providing delicious pasture-raised beef in Humbird, Wisconsin for three generations. A wide variety of steaks, roasts, ground beef, and even tasty beef snacks is just a mouse click away at SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. You can sign up for a recurring delivery subscription based upon your preferences. And your shipment is going to be packed on dry ice and arrive at your doorstep in just a few days. Or you can order a customized curated box. That's a great way to try their awesome beef before making a commitment to a subscription. What could be better? The next time you think of great beef, think of Schulze Family Beef. High-quality, pasture-raised beef from the Wisconsin family farm to your family table. So place your order at SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. Now, due to high demand, some orders may be on a short back order. So make sure you check out their website for availability. That's Schulze, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, familybeef.com.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, reminding you if you do get out and about, drink responsibly, stay socially distant, but enjoy yourself in the summer as it starts to warm up, all brought to you by our good friends over there at Bud Light.
A couple more segments of the Bill Michaels Show for this Friday edition. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola, executive producer of the show. Thanks for tuning in today, Wisconsin. Bill will be back on Tuesday. I don't get to do this often, so I'm going to do some shout-outs. I never get to do this, so this is the chance. Shout-out to my mother and father, Pam, of course, who is a nurse and has had to deal with a lot during this pandemic, and she's been awesome. I know she's listening right now. So shout out to my mother. My dad goes to grocery stores all over the Midwest, and he stocks them, and he sets them up. He does, I mean, literally, he's been in every grocery store in this state, in Illinois, Michigan. He goes all over the place, even down south. So my dad is essential with everything that's been going on as well. So shout out to my father, John. My brother is a FedEx driver, and he's delivering packages right now. He is on the front lines. I mean, the Zanzola clan is out and about. And my brother Alex works here in the building with the sales department and also does a tremendous job. Also, shout out to Big Austin up in Tomahawk, listening on WJJQ, and Gibby here in Milwaukee, listening on The Fan. All right, so Bruce Gradkowski, former NFL quarterback, now a Pro Football Focus. I had a chance to catch up with him earlier in the show. We had a really good conversation, and I wanted to get his thoughts on being the quarterback that he is. I wanted to know what he thought of Jordan Love being drafted, how this is going to fit with Aaron Rodgers. I also got to learn a little bit of what it was like for him to work alongside Ben Roethlisberger, because he spent a few years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's my conversation with Bruce.
You know, I mean, my thought, you know, initially with everything with the quarterback position, if you feel like you have a guy that you want and he's the next guy, I don't have a problem you getting him. And, you know, when Green Bay did that, would I have done that? No. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers had a ton of good football left in him. But when Green Bay is sitting there and they're like, look, we think Jordan Love is the next guy. We think he's the next future quarterback of the Green Bay Packers for a long time. And it worked for us drafting Aaron Rodgers when Brett Favre still had some years left in him. And Aaron Rodgers still has some years left in him. So let's try to repeat what we did because it worked well with Aaron Rodgers. And I don't have an issue with that. My only thing is Aaron Rodgers still has a lot of good football left in him. And with the draft being, you know, having a lot of good receivers coming out this year, I would have liked to see them go that route initially. And if not in the first round, I would have liked to have seen that in the second round. But at this point, man, you know what Green Bay is trying to do. They're going to be a run-heavy offensive football team. You know, you saw it last year from them a little bit. They're trying to kind of mimic what the Niners have going on. But overall, I don't mind them getting Jordan Love. I just don't think he's going to play anytime soon.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Now, obviously, the Packers won 13 games last year. They get to the NFC Championship game, but a lot of the games that they won were very close. Some of the games, they had this reputation of winning ugly, and I just look to this schedule coming up with a lot of teams that have improved. I'm just having a hard time sitting here that the I think the Packers are going to be a good team in 2020. I just don't know if they can mimic 13 wins. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, you're right. And anytime you win 13 games in a season, it's hard to come back and repeat that. But look, I think they have a good football team. They showed it last year. They won as a team. They weren't asking Aaron Rodgers to carry them on his shoulders the whole way. You know, he played well. I mean, he protected the football well. He did what the offense asked him to do. And I believe he still has a lot of good football left in him. You know, only four interceptions on the year. So he was playing smart ball. And I think another year in this system, another year with the coaching staff, he'll just get that much better. I think this team will get that much better. But at the end of the day, whether you come away with 13 wins, 10 wins, 9 wins, your goal is to get into the playoffs and chase that championship. Of course, you want to win the division first and foremost, and then you want to go for the Super Bowl. And I think with Green Bay, it starts with the quarterback. And they have that guy behind center now that gives you a chance week in and week out. So, you know, whether it's they win 13 games again or whether they win 11, 10 or 11, I still think they'll be in the running like they were last year.
Talking with Bruce Gradkowski, former NFL quarterback, now with Pro Football Focus. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at BGradkowski5. I do want to touch one more thing on this whole Jordan Love thing. So, you know, being the former quarterback that you were in a lot of quarterback rooms, and put yourself into Aaron Rodgers' shoes. I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers, what should your mindset be going into training camp, and how should you, you know, I mean, there's always this talk about how much Aaron Rodgers should be a mentor to Jordan Love, or whether it's his responsibility to mentor Jordan Love. If you're Aaron Rodgers, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and when I saw they drafted Jordan Love, of course, initially, you're hurt, you know what I mean? Because whether you're a rookie or a second-year in the league, five-year in the league, or you're like Aaron Rodgers that had played more than a decade, it still hurts. You know, you're still like, gosh, man, you know, they're planning after me, and I still have a lot of good football left in me. So that hurts, the initial sting. But then when you sit back and look at it, and especially once they get into training camp, and Aaron Rodgers is around Jordan Love, and he sees – you know, how Jordan Love has a lot to learn in the NFL. You know, it's a process for all of us. You know, when you get drafted or you sign as a free agent coming to the NFL, there's a lot to learn, not only mentally, but physically, in the speed of the game and to adapt to it. So, you know, I don't think there's going to be a major shakeup as far as when training camps evolved or Rodgers feeling like there's pressure on him. I just think he's going to be motivated more than ever to show that he still has a lot of good football left in him. Now, when I say that, too, you know, I just hope for Rodgers' sake that he doesn't press. You know, sometimes when you want to make the big plays or you want to prove you still have a lot left in you, you press and you try to always make the big play where, you know, Aaron Rodgers is so gifted and talented physically, you know, with his arm talent and athletically, his natural plays will come to him. His big plays will come. So I want to see him just continue to do what he does, let the game come to him, and he'll still play at a high level.
Would you put Aaron Rodgers top five quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't think he played that way last year. I mean, he's definitely a top 10, you know, and it's funny, Bruce Murray and I, we have a show on NFL Radio, SiriusXM, every Thursday, and we're drafting our quarterback. So we go, like, he had the first pick, then me, we go back and forth. And Rodgers was, you know, number five, you know, so he's a top five guy for us. I mean, and for me, I think he has it all. I mean, especially the swagger that he brings and the arm talent that you just don't get. I mean, it's like him and Patrick Mahomes are guys and Matthew Stafford that has that different type of arm talent. So it's fun to watch, and I think he still has a lot of great football left in him, and I love the athleticism. He still can make plays with his legs, so that's fun to watch. I just think he has to continue to let the game come to him and try not to do too much.
Now, I know you spent a lot of time with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was it like working alongside Big Ben? What was that chemistry like? Really curious.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great chemistry. I think Ben, like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, these guys are – they don't fall off trees. I mean, you're not going to be around great quarterbacks that often. And for my time spent in Pittsburgh, I was very fortunate fortunate to be around a future Hall of Famer. I mean, he's one of the most competitive guys I've been around. And, you know, even off the field, we'd play darts during training camp. And I'm like, man, finally, I could beat him at something. Let me, you know, I was trying real hard. I was like, I'm going to finally get him, you know. And no, of course, he wins. You know, he's just good at everything. And I just think he has that competitor's mindset. And these guys are different. And Aaron Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Brady, Manning, you know, they have a different type of mentality. And it's cool to be around them because at the end of the day, they're able and capable to make plays when needed. And when the big moment asks them to, they do. And that's what I've seen from Ben. He never worries about the interceptions he's thrown. He just moves on to the next play. And that's one of the impressive traits that I thought he carries.
Fun chat there with Bruce Gradkowski of Pro Football Focus. The former NFL quarterback was in the league for 11 years, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. All right, other side, we will wrap things up. Get through another week. Another week. Now we got a long weekend, and it's warmer weather. Things are good. I'll take it. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola in for Bill today on The Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by my good friends over there at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. Listen, the agriculture industry getting hammered right now. It's bad. We all know that. You've heard about the milk situation where they're dumping it out because nobody's buying it right now, and meatpacking plants have had outbreaks, so they have shut down, and that sent shockwaves through the farmers that grow the beef and the pork. Things are going to change for the better. We're going to come out of this. I know that. But for right now, Wisconsin farmers and agriculture workers, they need your help. Okay? And it's a little way to do it. As always, I remind you, ethanol comes from corn. And in our fine state of Wisconsin and well beyond the borders, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, as always, I remind you that you can go out and do something good for the farmers themselves, for the farmers who grow the corn specifically for ethanol production, to the truckers and the Wisconsin-based refiners, to the fueling stations that feature unleaded 88 and E85. And if you want to know if your car can take it, go to abetterfuel.org. That's abetterfuel.org. It's easy to do. It supports the economy in a time of need. And as always, it's brought to you by my good friends over there at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association in Wisconsin for Wisconsin. That's the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. Online again at abetterfuel.org. That's abetterfuel.org.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at the Four Seasons Island Resort and Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort as well. If you want to go up north and do some social distancing, that's where it was invented. The Four Seasons Island Resort is in Pembine, Wisconsin, or Pine Mountain Ski and Golf Resort in Iron Mountain, Michigan, home of the Timberstone Championship Golf Course. Both are absolutely beautiful. Go to TimberstoneGolfCourse.com. That's TimberstoneGolfCourse.com or TheFourSeasonsWI.com. That's TheFourSeasonsWI.com.
Soup is great. Soup is great. Soup is great. Soup is great.
Soup is great.
That is from the archives. Welcome back. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show. Rounding things out. If you're just joining us, one of our big topics today, top five, because it's a top five Friday, top five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. And Jeff Supon is at the top of a lot of lists for a lot of people out there for how bad that contract was. Radio Joe Zanzola here in for Bill. Evan Heffelfinger, other side of the glass. One other shout out I want to do, since I have the opportunity. Shout out to my fiance, Rachel. She just graduated, got her master's degree at Mount Mary here in Milwaukee, and did a tremendous job getting through all of that. And unfortunately for her and a lot of graduates out there, not being able to walk is just, it just sucks. It just sucks. So hopefully there will be an opportunity. I know Mount Mary is, you know, hoping to have graduation, like an actual in-person graduation in August. Obviously, we have to see how it plays out with all this Corona stuff. And, you know, again, it's really unfortunate for graduates. It's unfortunate for a lot of people. There's a lot of people struggling right now. I hope you guys are doing your best to hang in there. And, you know, really, thanks again for keeping it here on the Bill Michaels Show through all of this. We're you know, Bill has been doing his best to keep you guys going, find something else to talk about, take your minds off of whatever it is that you're going through right now. That's what we're here for. And we want to thank you guys again for being a part of the Bill Michaels Show around the state, beyond the borders, all of that. Some good stuff. Some highlights. Mike Pettine was talking earlier with the Packers media, and these are some of the quotes that were coming out of it. Pettine says that he smiles when asked about Matt LaFleur seeming to briefly open the door to him leaving during the postseason recap, because remember, that run defense was horrible against San Francisco. And Pettine says it had much to do about nothing. He and LaFleur had a very positive talk before that interview, all about moving forward. So Pettine knew for sure that he was coming back. He was never on the chopping block. Mike Pettine also talking about Rashawn Gary, because that's a hot topic going into 2020. I mean, how are you going to be able to fit him on this defense? Quote from Pettine, "I do see Rashawn taking a significantly increased role. I think at times where Preston and Z probably played maybe a little too much, that we want to take some of that off their plate. So I know Rashawn is certainly built to handle giving those guys a break." So that's a significant quote from Mike Pettine. Pettine also says on the NFC title game, quote, "I can't use any other phrase other than beyond disappointing. It's tough to realize that we played our worst game at the worst time, but at the same point, we own it. We're not running away from it. There's no excuses being offered." So that is from Mike Pettine. We'll hear more from the Packers defensive coordinator coming up on Tuesday's show. Some of the affiliates out there will be getting the best of the Bill Michaels Show. Others will not on Monday for Memorial Day. So we will talk to you live on Tuesday. Bill will be back. I will be here. Evan will be here. The whole crew back together again. But a lot of fun stuff. And again, you guys can follow us. He's at EvanHeff25. I'm at Radio Joe Sports. And you can always follow Bill at Bill_Michaels. And again, anything you missed on today's show, BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. Download the free Radio.com app. All right. Well, my thanks to Kevin Holden, Bruce Gradkowski, Grant Bills, of course, Evan, for doing a fine job producing today. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. You guys hopefully have a great weekend. It's going to be warmer. Things are going to be good. And continue to get through this together. You've been listening to the Bill Michaels Show. You guys have a great weekend.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.